couple of years ago, president of Appalachian Bible College, and more importantly, at least to me, my friend, Dr. Anderson, wrote a book and had it published entitled Biblical Slave Leadership. It's a book on leadership, and significant to the title of it. And in the introduction to the book, he harkens back to the time when he was called to serve as president of the Bible College. And he writes these words, that he needed to, first of all, find out what leadership was all about. And he says, "With a sense of curiosity and eagerness, I started my search for what God expects of leaders. Quite frankly, I needed to know what the Bible says about leadership. As I began my quest in Genesis and continued throughout the pages of the Scriptures, I paused to visit with such leaders as the patriarchal leader Abraham, the tribal domestic leader Jacob, the political leader Joseph, the military leaders Moses and Joshua, the spiritual leaders called the prophets, the church leader Peter, and most notably the missionary leader Paul. The illustrations went on and on. It did not take me long to identify the singular description given most frequently to leaders throughout the Bible. God's accolade for leaders is servant. My servant Moses, number says. Your servant David in 1 Kings. My servants the prophets, Zechariah chapter 1. Leading me right to the pinnacle of all leaders, Jesus Christ himself, who took on the form of a servant, Philippians chapter 2. The perfect model of leadership is followed by such familiar examples as Peter and Paul. And he concludes emphatically, leaders are servants. I agree. But I also think the opposite is true. I think the best servants are people who demonstrate leadership qualities, even in non-leadership positions. Our theme this year is on being a servant of God. And I want to challenge you, if you are going to be the best servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the servant of the Most High God, you need to develop leadership characteristics, even if you're never in a position of leadership. So tonight, and Lord willing for the next four Sunday evenings, I want to take a look at how the Bible defines leadership, certain aspects of it, and relate that then to be a servant of God. We're going to begin our study tonight by looking at the call of God to leadership. Every leader is called of God to a leadership position. And at the end, I'll relate that then to servants. A lot of crazy things can be justified by a person saying, well, I was called of God to do this. You have probably heard people on TV or seen in print or whatever, how people justify some really crazy doctrinal positions or leadership styles or ministries or so forth that are really out in the lunatic fringe, and their justification simply is, well, this is what I was called of God to do. And how do you say, well, God wouldn't call you to do that? Well, you can. The problem is we've made this call of God such a subjective thing that there are no real absolutes concerning. I think Scripture has a number of absolutes concerning the call of God. Leadership in the church is a position that God is sovereign over, because God is sovereign over all things, first of all. But in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, you needn't turn there, in answer to the question of who do men say that I am, and then Jesus asked, who do you say? And Peter stood up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God. In verse 18, Jesus said, "Well, Pete, you done good." And he said, "You are Peter, but upon this rock I will build my church." He didn't say, "I will build the church." He didn't say, "I will build a church." He didn't say, "I will build your church." He said, "I will build my church." If I come over to your house and I say, "Well, this is what I want you to do. I think you need to paint this room this color." You would look at me and you would say, "You're entitled to your opinion, but that ain't going to happen." Why? Because it's your house. Well, the church is the Lord Jesus Christ's church. And unfortunately, in this day and age, we have gotten to the place where we no longer consider, or at least we no longer really consider, deeply consider, the fact that the church belongs to Jesus Christ. Oftentimes I'm seeing, especially on internet, 5 qualities millennials are looking for in a church. Okay, well, that might be nice, but quite frankly, it doesn't matter what millennials are looking for in a church. It's not their church. It's Jesus Christ's church. And if millennials are looking for something other than what Jesus Christ intends the church to be, I'm sorry. That's not going to fly. All that to say is that the Lord Jesus Christ is sovereign over the calling of leaders. It's His church. I want to take a look at a number of different things concerning the call of God here. Let's begin in Acts chapter 13. You have your Bibles, Acts chapter 13. And the first thing about the call of God is this: God calls as many as, or as few as, leaders as He desires. Acts chapter 13. "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers." Let me stop there for just a second. Consider this: prophets and teachers. Would you expect them to be godly people, ungodly people, or somewhere in between? Well, the obvious answer is you would expect them to be godly people. Certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." Here are 5 men, I believe godly men. I know at least 2 of the 3 were godly men. I would assume the other 3 were also. Prophets and teachers, gifted people, people that were involved in ministry, and a certain ministry came up and the Holy Spirit says, "I want 2 of them." Well, wouldn't it make a whole lot of sense if God called all 5 of them? I mean, 150% more work could get done if all 5 of them were called rather than just 2 of them. But He called who He wanted to. He called only 2. He called as many as, or as few as, He desired. God is sovereign to do that. Secondly, God is sovereign and calls to the area of service, particular areas of service, according to His own desires. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul says he was called of God to be an apostle. Could have been called of God to be anything else that God wanted him to be, but God called him to be an apostle. That does not necessarily mean, and we'll see this in a little bit more detail, that there was a limitation on his abilities or his service, but there certainly was an emphasis on that area of service. God is sovereign to call whoever He wants to whatever ministry He wants. if God had wanted to, He could have set up some standards of, I'm only going to call people who are blonde-haired to this ministry. And he would have been free to do that. And if you want to be a pastor in the church, you have to be under 4 feet tall. That way you have short messages. I'm sorry. God is sovereign. He calls to whatever service that He wants you to be in. Thirdly, He calls specific people to be ministered to. Turn over a page or two to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 6. Now it's talking about Paul and Silas here. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Doesn't that sound odd? They were forbidden to preach the word. I mean, the Lord Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. And here He's saying, don't preach the gospel. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed or they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit didn't permit them. You're not going there. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Holy Spirit said, I don't want you here. I don't want you here. I want you here. God is sovereign to call people to minister to a certain group of people. And He said, I want you here. Don't you go over here. That's not where I want you. He can do that. Fourthly, God is sovereign to call as many as or as few as certain people to certain areas for certain services for a certain time. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Familiar passage of Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to begin reading verse 6. The Apostle Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know what he's saying? My time of ministry is done. God has sovereignly said, you're out of here. Now, to the Philippians, years before this, he said, I'm in strait between two, having a desire to depart and be with the Lord, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide or to remain with you is more needful. And consequently, it was more needful in the plan of God. And he stayed for a number of years. But now, he's gotten to the point where he says, look, the will of God is completed. God is going to call me home. And as I said before, many Bible scholars believe that it was a very short period of time until Paul put down his quill and he was taken home to heaven. God calls for a specific time. I will never forget, it was just a few weeks after the Lord called me here to Salina Bible Church. And Heather Collins, the daughter, if you're not familiar who she is, she was the daughter of the pastor that preceded me in ministry here. She came to me one day and she said, I'd like to talk to you about some things about youth ministry. And we were sitting in my office there talking, and until it was all said and done, discussed everything, she said, I got to be honest with you. She said, the first time that I saw you standing in the pulpit, she said, I was a little upset. She said, that was the pulpit that my dad filled for 3 years. She said, I wanted him to be there, not you. Then she said, I realized that he resigned from the ministry and God called you to be there. I remember saying to her point blank, I said, Heather, your dad was here for a specific time, for a specific purpose. I am here for a specific purpose and a specific time. Didn't realize at the point, that point in time, it would be at least 25 years, but nonetheless, I said, I am here till my purpose is finished. That might happen within a week, it might happen in years. Frankly, quite frankly, I'm hoping that it's going to be at least another 9 years, at least. I'd like to continue until I'm 70. At that point in time, and that's on the putting green. But if the Lord says tomorrow, Reiner, you're out of there. As much as I would hate to go, the Lord has His time for me to serve. God is sovereign in all those things. They constitute His will. Nextly, God calls according to a standard. Turn back just a couple of pages to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus chapter 1 talks about standards for those in leadership positions within the church, elders and deacons. And Lord willing, that's going to be something that I'll look at in more detail next week. But I just want to highlight something. I want you to notice something in general about it. If you look down through these verses of scriptures, you will not find qualifications based upon a person's ability, nor upon their gifts, nor upon their education, social status, or anything of the like. Every qualification that's here is a qualification of character. The only thing that is in here that may closely resemble ability is one in verse 4, where it says, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man not know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? That indicates a little bit of ability, but really it's more character-oriented than anything else. God calls people with character to leadership positions. And we'll deal with that more intently next week. Next thing, while you're there, look at verse 1. The call of God affects both the mind and the heart of the one who is called. This is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. God puts within the hearts and within the minds of people who will be in leadership positions a desire to do what they're doing. Peter puts it this way and speaks a little bit to the same emphasis when he says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who also am an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Oftentimes, leaders are put into positions of leadership because of, like I said before, abilities or social position, or, well, nobody else will do it. Well, if nobody else will do it and you're not called of God to do it, then let it go undone. But God moves in the hearts and minds of people and creates a desire to do things. It's interesting, in our coming here, I have shared this before, and I don't talk much about my previous ministry because, quite frankly, that's something that was in the past that God used for good. And obviously, because I left it, it means that things weren't all that great either. But that's a was part of God's training in my life. And we were looking for a ministry where God would lead us to, that I could accomplish what I believed was His will for my life. And quite frankly, for a whole year, we were being frustrated. I remember sitting at home at my desk, and I remember just bowing my head in prayer and saying, "Lord, if there is something that I need to learn, I sure wish that You'd teach it to me today, because I want to get out of here." But not long after that, a call came from this Salina Bible Church. And they asked me to come and to preach and to see if I'd be interested in the ministry here, if they'd be interested in me. And we came, and I remember men on the pulpit committee were outside the front door here. They were all lined up. You weren't on that. It was Bob Shue, Bill Peterson, Larry Ho, Bob Ault, and this guy. So was there anybody else on that? I think that was all that. That was the committee. Carol and I pulled in, and the first thing that hit Carol's mind, there was an old rickety trailer out back here. It was used. This isn't anything. This shows her good judgment. She looked at that thing. She said, "Please don't tell me that that's the parsonage." But we got out of the car, parked over there where I usually park on Sunday evenings, walked over, and something was said. I think Bob Shute said something, and we all started laughing. And it just put me at ease. Came in, met with the pulp committee. We discussed all kinds of positions on ministry and doctrinal issues and everything. Preached that Sunday evening. There was a dinner, and of course it was delicious. And we got in the car to go home. Literally, right outside the driveway here, I remember it like it was yesterday. I looked at Carol, and I said, "Well, what do you think?" She said, "I think we finally found the right one." Jack has given testimony. He went home that night. God put it in our hearts. God does that. And there was a desire for them to have me come back and for me to come back. And it's lasted for 25 years. And I thank God for every day of those 25 years. Nextly, God's call is recognized by others. Go back to Acts chapter 13 where we started. Should have told you to keep a piece of paper there so you could make your way back quickly. But then I didn't do it either. So, Acts chapter 13, "Separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I've called them." Now look at verse 3. "When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." Here is this, and I would imagine at this point in time that they speaks of the whole church at Antioch, not just the rest of these three guys that are left behind. I assume it's the whole church. And they said, "Okay, here's Saul and Barnabas. They think that they've been called of God to go out there. Let's pray about this." And God worked in their hearts also. And they recognized the call of God in Saul and Barnabas' life and sent them away. God's calling is always recognizable by others. Now, what does that have to do with servants? Well, one last passage to turn to and then I'll quit. Ephesians chapter 4. "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you." Who's the "you"? Well, he's talking to everybody at the church of Ephesus. That will include those in leadership positions and those not in leadership positions. "I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. God calls each and every one of us to a position of being a servant. Sometimes a servant in leadership positions, sometimes a servant in servant positions. Why? Because God is sovereign to call as many as or as few as He wants. And here's an area where He says, I want every one of my children to be a servant. He calls to a specific ministry. Some, as I said, leadership, some not leadership. He calls to a certain group of people here. He's calling to Ephesians. And for a specific time, as long as you live. But He says, I want you to walk worthy of the vocation that I've called you to. Well, how do we know what's worthy? It indicates there has to be some standard of worthiness. Leaders are called according to a standard. Servants are called according to a standard. God wants not only leaders to be people of character, He wants servants to be people of the very same character. I want you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. I want you to have a ministry that your heart and your mind is given to the service of others. Meekness. Not being swelled up with emotion or pride or vanity or anything. Not being overcome with power or authority or anything. But I want you to recognize you've been called of God. And in the place of service, you will recognize that you're a servant. I want you to suffer long. I want you to put others ahead of yourself, forbearing one another in love. I will never, ever forget consistory meeting years ago. And during those meetings, each month, one of the elders or deacons had the responsibility of bringing a devotional. Chris Ryan was a deacon then, and he brought a little devotional on being a servant. And the comment he made has stuck with me all these years. One of the few things that actually did stick up here. And he said, a servant does not determine when and how they minister. Think of it. A slave, a servant, does not go up to the master and said, this is what I'm going to do for you. He asked the master, what do you want me to do for you? The servant doesn't say, well, that's a good job, I'll do it such and such a time. He does it when the master says. The servant doesn't say, well, this is how I'm going to do it. The servant says, I will abide by the master's directions. God uses servants who will do these things. Then look at this, verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Consequently, when people are ministering to other people, forbearing one another in love and keeping things together, does that go unnoticed? We were joking yesterday at breakfast, and it was kind of interesting tonight. We were talking about last Sunday night's praise time. Got crazy around here, didn't it? It was fun. I mean, we're laughing and carrying on, and the joy of the Lord that was being expressed in our lives was just wonderful. Now, it wasn't quite as crazy tonight. I guess we're just not as joyous. Well, that's not the case. But fact of the matter is, we recognized as we're discussing at breakfast yesterday, what a wonderful time that was. Brothers and sisters in Christ just relating to one another and really expressing joy. You know what? That's how God operates. A servant is a person who has all the same characteristics and calling of a leader, just in a different position. God help us to be called of God, whether in a leadership position or not in a leadership position, but with leadership qualities for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, use this study tonight to create and then to demonstrate characteristics that are worthy of leadership, whether we're in leadership positions or not. Lord, use us for your glory as servants of the Most High God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a good week.